Look at the Torah Bahar, page Mem, 9 lines from the end of the page. The Alter Rebbe is explaining the Pasuk Achesi Rayasi, my sister, my friend, and he explained, my sister refers to the natural love that a person has to Hashem. By tzaddikim, it's constant. By most other people, it's only at the time of davening, when you're meditating into the greatness of Hashem. After davening, it goes away. And then he starts explaining to Yossi, we are Hashem's friend, but also he says, we give Hashem parnasa. What do you mean we give Hashem parnasa? Karbani lachmi. So he gives the whole analogy of a seed in the ground. The seed itself has no taste or smell or looks or anything of the fruit that comes out from the seed. Not only that, you put the seed in the ground, the seed germinates, it rots, and then it comes out the fruit. So he says, but in the potential, the seed does have that potential of the eventual fruit, even though it doesn't have the actual taste and look and texture of the fruit. Then when it rots and becomes connected with the power of vegetation that the earth has, then it comes out this grapefruit. So he says, the same thing is with Torah. 9 lines from the bottom of the page. So he says, okay. Kacha derech moshul, the same way. A Torah shen is slabshib and is gashmi medvarim gashmi. The Torah that comes with the gashmistical things, hachaya shibba mitzum tzuma'it. The light that comes into the Torah. Because it dresses itself into gashmistika things is limited. Kiba el ganedna elyon shu'elam abriya. In ganedna hayu ganed, which is ruled abriya. Mi'idim shom chabad einza baruch. Over there, like we know, that Atzilus, Chochma shines in Atzilus, Bina shines into Bria. So Bria is the level of understanding, comprehension of Hashem. So the way Torah is learned in the world of Bria, so to speak, over there is an open understanding, the revelation of godliness. And over there it's an enjoyable way. The way the Neshama actually understands godliness. Meaning, the Neshama in Gan Eden, when it's learning Torah in Gan Eden, that's what they do all day, there's nothing else to do. They learn Torah, so over there the Neshama actually feels great about understanding godliness. What we did learn in other places, what they do understand of godliness is only a ray of the Shekhinah. But that ray, they understand completely.
I mean, is the same Torah that we learn here, they learn out there, or is it?
No, they learn the same Torah, but in a different way. In other words, you can't... Chassidus gives a few examples. Shnayim Meichzim B'Talis. Two people come to Bezin holding a talis. This one says, I found it. This one says, I found it. Okay, the whole... So this says, how do they learn that Torah in Gan Eden? Okay? So over there, they don't learn it. Two people fighting over a talis. I found it. Garments are mitzvahs. Shnayim Meichzim B'Talis. Two neshamas are fighting over a mitzvah. This one says, I did it. This one says, I did it.
What, they did it on earth? When they did it on
earth? Yeah, or that's the way they learn Teir and Gan Eden. How do they learn Teir and Gan Eden? There's no physical talus there to learn about. Or another thing, another example, Chassidus brings down. The Mishnah says in Bava Kamma, you exchange a cow for a donkey. And in the middle of the exchange, the cow gives birth to a calf. So now the question was it before the exchange, after the exchange, who does the calf belong to, right? And there's no witnesses, obviously, so there's a whole mission, right? So over there, the Chassidus says, they learn, there's a Yetzer Hara called Parah, there's a Yetzer Hara that's called Chamor, and they exchange this type of temptation for this type of temptation. So they learn it differently, but they're learning the same Torah, but it's just...
Generally, it's the same concept.
Correct.
What purpose does it serve for them to learn Torah?
What else should they do a whole day?
Pardon?
What else do you want them to do a whole day? They're bored.
There's no sense of time, there's no sense
in Bria, there's time. There is time in Bria.
How does it do any good for...
That's the reward of the mitzvahs they do in this world, is up there they feel the godliness that they accomplished in this.
It.
They do, neshamas feel. That's what he's saying. Over there, they feel Sikhla Ukus Mamish. But Mikomukem Khinasa Sogahi, that level of understanding in Gan Eden is Yeshmi Ayin Lagabi Mikaida Dukula, is also Yeshmi Ayin, something from nothing compared to the source of Teda, which is Chachma Baleba Chachma Yadiyah. It's not even the source of Chachma. Masha'en can be Ridasa Lamata. Now, when the Neshama comes down into the world, or when Teda comes down into the world, this Gashma becomes very very physical. That you don't understand the godly enjoyment of it, meaning like this. Down here, you learn about cows and animals and agriculture and Yom Tov and what all the physical things that Torah teaches us about, yeah? So over here, we don't feel the godliness when you learn. You feel the halacha. This is the halacha. This says this happens, this happens. You're allowed to do it on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. That's what you understand. In Gan Eden, the Neshamas learn that they actually feel the actual ultimate sweetness of godliness that they're learning. And he says, that's what it says. We mentioned this pasuk yesterday in Tillim, what we say in before benching on Shabbos. Hazed and Bedima, those that plant with tears, Berina Yixedu, will harvest with joy. Why? Yarei, Bishasli Mudei, when a person learns, and they tie it down here, you learn Tater, you don't have this godly enjoyment. Bikamakem Berina Yixedu. But you still harvest with joy. What does that mean? Kimach Masalim, but Nasa Eretar Zerober Tzoyen. When you learn Torah down here, Torah becomes planted in the seed in the ground, lemaile in Gan Eden. Ki b'chein is v'aravai zu alocha botol gabi b'chein is atzimeach, which is the level of chochma. V'aidei zah matzimeach chai mitzvah mitzvah b'Gan Eden o elyin. So he says like this, when a person learns Torah down here, so even though it's with tears because you don't understand the godliness of it down here, but nevertheless you plant the seed in Gan Eden up there, and eventually when you come there, you harvest it with joy, because then you understand the godliness. So Azayin Bedima, planting with tears refers to what you determine as you do in this world, and then Berina Yixedo, the joy that you get when you harvest, to refers to Gan Eden.
What does it mean, Gan Eden Elyon?
No, there's a level Gan Eden higher and lower. Gan Eden Elyon is Bria, Gan Eden Atachin is Yitzira. Some of the Shamas merit to go to Bria, higher Gan Eden. Some merit to go to Yetzirah, the lower Gan Eden.
So every year the Neshama goes to the higher class, like is it a class?
Whatever. It keeps going from level to level, yes. Maybe it goes from elementary Gan Eden to high school Gan Eden to college Gan Eden to graduate school. And you go, then you go to unemployment.
They can talk to Hashem?
Do they talk to God physically? No. But there's a feeling of godliness.
They can see Hashem with their eyes?
No. It's at the level of godliness that they feel. Like, for instance, a person has pleasure. Let's say somebody loves music, and they hear music, and they really enjoy it. Yeah? Or somebody eats a good steak, whatever, and they really enjoy it. Now, you can't physically tap into that pleasure.
Right.
Can you describe the pleasure physically to me? No, but it's a certain pleasure you feel.
Right.
Do you see the pleasure? No. Do you hear the pleasure? No.
Like right? The pleasure of Shabbat.
Okay, well, you're very holy. What?
Very nice.
No, so I'm saying the Neshamas in Gan Eden have this, do they see God? No, but they feel that level of godliness. Especially in the Shema that's not limited and restricted and jailed by the body, so then there's nothing covering it.
I was just wondering.
Yeah?
2 days ago you said that that as long as a person is alive, you can't see Hashem. But when we die, we do see Hashem. Now you're saying that.
But again, what does seeing mean? What does seeing mean? Seeing with your eyes? When you explain something to somebody, and they understand it well. They say, oh, I see. What do they see with their eyes? They see it with their intellectual eyes. This they see with the neshama eyes, so to speak.
So they do see.
What means see? It's not physical seeing.
You just said you can't see Hashem. The neshama, you just said...
We can't see Hashem in our physical type of seeing.
Can you see intellect?
Can you see intellect?
Yeah, you said that. Yeah, I see. When I understand something, I say.
What do you see with your eyes? You see it
with my intellectual eyes.
Okay, so this is the neshama eyes, but not seeing like we call seeing that you see a picture of God flying up there.
Again, he didn't see.
So he felt God level of godliness, and it was so true with him. He felt it was so one with him. It's like you say, I see. When you see, I see means it's not only do I understand it, but I get it. I dig it, you know?
So that's better than what we would have seen in this world. That's better than what...
Not physical seeing. I don't understand what the issue is. Okay. In any case, Vashchina metainugam mesangam asagosam asagos alokus. Shasagi yahi, that understanding of godliness in Gan Eden is yesh miayin. V'ziva, it's only a ray. From the power of above. Because what is in Gan Eden? What are they getting? What are they understanding? Only Ziv HaShechina. It's not the essence of the Shechina. So therefore, compared to the essence of the Shechina, this ray of the Shechina is like nothing. The ray of the Teirin Aveda, which is L'moshel HaKech HaTzameach, like the power of plant, the power of vegetation, shematzmiach kena garden, that it creates. When you put a seed in the ground and the earth makes it grow, the earth is making it grow based on the seed that's planted there. If it would be a different seed, something else would grow. Begufei alochas gashmis, and physical alochas that somebody learns down here, hemchinas alos, man is in elevation, serus is the lusata. The Gabi Chochmosev, it's only compared to the Chochman will of Hashem, Hamlubeshim, B'dvar Havayez, Halacha, which is in Dvar Hashem, which is Halacha. So he says, what does it mean, this whole concept of planting the seed, giving Hashem Parnasa? He says, there is, when a person learns Torah down here, they plant a seed up there that eventually grows. And that is how a Jew, kaviyachol, sustains Hashem, that Hashem would want to be in the world, just like food keeps the neshama in the body. And just like in physical planting, ainut seimchis, it doesn't grow. Achi yirkav agadon, until it rots, until it germinates. V'yavset, it gets lost. V'yishtanim amuhusay. And it changes from its even original essence of the seed. It becomes one with the earth. In other words, the only way a seed can make things grow is when it loses its entity, it rots, and it becomes completely bottled to the ground, completely bottled to the Kerech HaTzameach. So, the same thing, a person, in order to plant and to grow, the Jew, when they learn Torah, has to have the ultimate germination, which means they rot, meaning, like we say in davening, v'nafshi ka'afar l'kolti, it's the level of bittul. How do you have bittul and teda? Through mesiras nefesh, b'teda mitzvahs. Through self-sacrifice of learning teda mitzvahs, v'lis nekletes, m'sechedes baritz al yena, which is the level of malchusei, v'shchinas uzei, which is, in other words, how can a Jew down here, this is a general question. How in the world can a finite, limited human being be connected to the unlimited, infinite God? And therefore, the only way that can happen is when a Jew leaves his finite level. Now, it's impossible for a finite, but relatively speaking, a Jew, when they leave their finite level, which is, what does that mean? He says, Mesidas Nefesh. Or, in other words, Yitzias Mitzrayim. when a Jew goes out of Mitzrayim, what the Alter Rebbe explains in time, we learned many times, it means you break your nature. The nature is Mitzrayim, Meitzer, Gvul, limitations and boundaries. So when a Jew breaks the nature, meaning they're accustomed to daven like this, and they break the nature and they daven like this, or they learn 10 minutes and they break the nature and they learn 15 minutes, or whatever it is. In Torah, Vedic, Minas, Chassadim, Tzedakah, learning, davening, mitzvah, whatever it may be. So then, relatively speaking, the person in their Avodah broke nature. They reached, it tap into the infinite. And therefore, that can only be through the seed rotting in the ground, meaning the only way a Jew can plant a seed up there that it should grow is through the bittul of the Jew in Torah mitzvah, which is Mesiras Nefesh. What?
Conversely, how can we ask the finite being to predict what's going to be in the infinite Olam Haba?
Well, it's told us in the books what it's going to be.
Where?
We're learning it. What do you mean? In the books.
Books that were written by finite individuals, no?
No. Written, given by God at Sinai, it was infinite.
Rabbi, so you're saying that a person has to have
Mesiras
Nefesh and
Yetzirah
Mitzrayim?
No, Mesiras Nefesh is Yetzirah Mitzrayim.
Isn't Mesiras Nefesh Mesiras Ratzon? When you give up your Ratzon?
Yeah, but that means your will is what your nature is. You give up your will, is you break your nature.
So will and nature is the same.
What?
Is it true that a Chacham can comprehend more than a Navi does?
Yeah, the Gemara says Chacham out of Minavi, but Alter Rebbe Tanya explains it's not so simple. It's the level. Feeling versus understanding, whatever.
So
you're talking about a whole different world. Yeah, what do you think it's written? The comic books? I said comic books. Of course everything's in Torah. How do we know Gan Eden exists?
But our daily routine or something after
yeah. In your hands, we tell Hashem, I give over my soul. By day, oh, you're rich. By days, and neklatus mesiachedus hatayrus shalomet ba'ilam hazeh. And through this, by learning Torah properly with proper bittul, what happens is you cause Torah to be planted in the higher worlds. Like the unity between the power of vegetation and the seed that rots. So he says like this. And this is the way an intellectual person needs to understand. That the learning, when you learn Torah and you do mitzvahs, is the way we're discussing now, that is complete bittul. And that's why we spoke Monday night, no? In B'chukai say Teleichu, the Alter Rebbe says it means chakika, engraved. That Judaism is not something written on paper, two separate entities that you could erase the ink from the paper, but Yiddishkeit has to be B'chukai say Teleichu, this week's parsha. It has to be done in a way of chakika. Chakika means you and the Torah become one. If you and the Torah become one, there's no me and Yiddishkeit, and sometimes I will give myself up to do Yiddishkeit. Because that Yiddishkeit could never be erased, so to speak. It has to be letters that are engraved, meaning the person and the Yiddishkeit are one, and then it's eternal. You can never get rid of it. You can sometimes cover it with dust. That's what the Friedrich Rebbe said when the guy told, you know, the Sefer of the Sefer Torah. He said, the Yiddishkeit of a Jew is engraved within him. It can never be erased. It can only sometimes be covered with dirt. The letter is there. Right? The famous story in Chicago, what happened. But the Friedrich Rebbe said, the letter of a Sefer Torah that the Jew has, meaning the Yiddishkeit that a Jew has within him, is not a written letter that can be erased. It's an engraved letter. The letter, the Yiddishkeit, is always within the Jew. The pintaliyid, the esem, and the nukud, the sayadis, the yichidish of benefesh, the essence of the Jew is always there. It can sometimes be covered. So you have to take away, blow away the dust. Sometimes you get rid of the dust by just blowing at it. It gets rid of it. Sometimes you have to use a little this. Sometimes you need a pick. Sometimes you need a shovel. Sometimes you need a bulldozer. But in it all, in the mud that you need a bulldozer to remove, is the pintle yid of the Jew. And that's why the Rebbe didn't like the expression when people would say in, today in the Kiruv world, they use the expression, I do Kiruv Rechokim. I bring the distant people closer. And the Rebbe didn't like that expression because the Rebbe said, no Jew is far. Basically, you're saying like this, the Jew is far. And I have to bring them closer. The Jew is not far. A Jew is close.
Even the ones who are actively undermining the
yes, world. They're still Jewish. That you don't make the secondary primary. In other words, your whole goal, here the Alter Rebbe is saying even a deeper level, that you don't learn Teda for the gashmiyasticha, for the physical things you're learning in Teda, you're learning it for the spiritual levels of Teda. And he says, because somebody who says they only have Teda doesn't even have Teda. Therefore, you should put your knowledge, learning, to the Pnimis of Alukus, Mimkeid of Eshar Shalemayla, in the source of it, in Chochmei Ilah, the Lisa Velitim, B'diburi Shomakim. In other words, a person has to learn Teda, not so much about the physical objects he's learning about in the Teda, but the person learning Teda about agriculture, Yom Tevim, Tefillin, whatever the physical object is, he's learning it, the godliness of it. He's learning the spirituality of the physical halacha rather than just the physical halacha. And by the way, that's where Chassidus comes in. When you learn only Nigla, the revealed part of Teda, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, you're dealing with physical objects. You're not dealing with the godliness of it. Pnimis HaTeda, Chassidus, which is the neshama of Teda, then you're dealing with the godliness of the Teda. In other words, Teda, just like there's a neshama in a body, we learn Teda has a neshama in a body. Just like a person has a neshama in a body, Teda has a neshama in a body. The body is the revealed part of us, the neshama is the life of us that you don't see, but that's the life of us. In Teda, there's the physical part of Teda, Nigla the Teda, revealed Teda, that's called the body of Teda. And then you have Chassidus, which is called Nishmasa Deiraisa. The Nisham of Teda, that is the Chayas of Teda. So then when you learn it with Chassidus, then you realize that you're not learning the physical halacha as a physical cow and donkey and whatever it is. You're learning it as spirituality.
But there is godliness in Pshat.
Yeah, but you got to see it. Without Chassidus, you're not going to see it. Without Chassidus, you're not going to see it. Chassidus infiltrated the world today to such an extent that you hear the non-Chassidic people talking, they're talking aspects of Chassidus. Because it infiltrated the world in all various aspects. But just take cold-blooded Gemara. It's very physical. Am I allowed to do it? Am I not allowed to do it? Yeah.
Rashi.
The Rebbe said, when the Rebbe was speaking all the Rashi sichas in Tavshin Chafei and afterwards for many years, the Rebbe said, the Shulah Kodesh writes that in Rashi, in his commentary of Chumash, is Yena Shel Teda, hidden the secrets of Teda. Therefore, if you look at all the Rashi sichas, when the Rebbe finished explaining the Rashi, then the Rebbe said, what is the chsidus of it? What is the lesson of it? What is the chayas of it? All the sikhs, look, all the Rashi sikhs. Rashi has the secrets of Teda in him.
But he wasn't Chabad.
Huh? Of course Rashi was Chabad. What was he?
Yeah, you still need Chassidut to bring it up.
Yeah. You don't see the neshama. But you know it's there, and not only is it there, without the neshama, you're dead. Okay. That's why the Rebbe Rashab in Kuntzitz Chaim writes that if you don't learn Chassidus, you're Chayiv Misa. That's what he writes. If you don't learn Chassidus, you're Chayiv Misa.
What does that mean?
I
you die. You're obligated capital punishment. Now, it doesn't mean in a literal sense. It means because then you're not learning living Torah. Then you're learning a dead Torah, a body Torah, body without a soul. And that's what the Rebbe explained. It's not two different Torahs, revealed and hidden. Because like the Neshama and the Guf, it's body and soul, but it's one. The person, a human being, is composed of two halves, body and soul. Torah is composed of two halves, secrets and revealed. It's not two different Torahs. It's not one person is body and one person is soul.
Why do we do Chitat? Why do we do
Why? Because he's supposed to learn Chumash. What do you mean?
Why do you think?
But you're saying that unless you understand Chassidut.
That doesn't mean you mean? In order to understand Chassidut, you have to learn Nigla.
Yes, you want.
So, Rabbi, until the.
Well, 1 second. You have Lahavdal. You want to get a degree in medicine, let's say. You have to learn seemingly a lot of subjects that are not relevant actually to doctoring. But in order to understand doctoring, right, you need to have other knowledges involved. Whatever. You need. So what's one thing? Because one thing enhances the other's understanding. But it's not two separate entities. It's not there's Chassidus and there's Gemara. It's two halves of one whole. Torah has a body and a soul. A human being has a body and a soul. It's not two different human beings. Body, human, and soul human. It's one thing. And then the learning is in a way of bittul. Okay? And in other words, a person understands that when you learn Torah, what's the level of bittul and Torah? In a very practical level, what does it mean, bittul of Torah? And we're all guilty as charged. A lot of times, we learn Torah, and we think to ourselves, you know, this really doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Some people are smart enough to not say it, and some people are stupid and they say it. It doesn't make sense. That's a total lack of bittul in learning. Because if bittul of learning means you realize it's God's Torah, you could learn millions of times. If it's God's Torah, the question is how could you understand it? Not why you don't understand it.
Sometimes you say it doesn't make sense because you want
to. I'll give you even. Torah says something and science says something else. Or medicine says something else. Torah says this is the halacha medicine, okay? Like if an animal has a certain blemish, trafe, you have to check the lungs and all that stuff for the animal, right? Because if it has a blemish that the animal can't live for 12 months, it's called trafe and allowed to eat it, even though the shechita was good. And halacha says, even if doctors, veterinarians will tell you it's not true, it doesn't matter what they say. Or science, the Rebbe said many times, science and Torah cannot contradict each other. Because if it's fact, in fact, facts cannot contradict. If you're talking about theory versus a fact, yeah, they can contradict. Evolution is a theory. And when Torah says there's no evolution, the way they're describing evolution, but people say, yeah, but how can Torah say this? Science says the world is a million years old. Yeah? And even religious Jews can think that. You're not to cause them not to keep Torah, but in the back of their mind, they're thinking, but that's not true because science says, what do you mean, 57, 81? Science says a million years old. That's not bittul and Torah. Bittul and Torah means this is what God says, it's 100% true. I don't understand it, that's my problem. It's not the Torah's issue. What? What? Moshe.
So before
the name Daniel
was revealed, how was Torah kept up?
They didn't need it as much as them because the illness wasn't there in the world yet, spiritual illness that you needed.
Huh?